Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Man, I am here in the building. I am physically here, 6 feet apart, we might add.
Yes.
But we are finally back together again to talk about some Steelers football and get some better audio quality in the podcast. Apologize for the last one. It was kind of bad.
Yeah, we're trying here. We don't have the highest end equipment quite yet. Give us time. The more you like, share, and give us 5-star reviews, the better possibility there is we can afford that kind of stuff.
Preach it. No, I'm just kidding. but we have some stuff to talk about. Steelers news is back up and running full force.
Yeah, but before I get the Steelers news, I want to talk about this podcast news.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Boom. So last month, our best month ever, and by a wide margin. Appreciate all the listeners out there. So many new people from new states. And new listeners all over the place, lots of likes. So the social media is really helping us out, folks. And just wanted to say, this month we already have new, since the last episode, we got a new download in Montana. It's our first download in Montana.
Woohoo!
New follower on Podbean with the name Iceberg. Nice name.
Heck yeah. Don't sink the ship.
Not this one. You can go sink that Bengal ship, though. We're going to talk about them later.
We are going to talk about the Bengals.
Yeah, man. So we did our draft recap on the Steelers. We're going to go through and talk about some of the other teams that are very important versus Pittsburgh. But got a little more info on some of these rookies coming in here. A couple jersey numbers.
Yeah, Chase Claypool. And all these are rumored for the most part. Steelers haven't announced these yet. But Chase Claypool... did make a statement that he was going to be wearing number 11.
Boom.
So that's exciting. I don't remember any crazy good number 11s that I've seen in Pittsburgh history.
No.
So that's exciting that Chase Claypool can do that. And you know what? I think 7-11 is going to be a pretty good combination this year.
Boom. I like it, man. All our top receivers are in the ones. You know, Juju 19, Washington 13, and what, Deontay's
18? Yep.
Yeah, he explained it by saying his number was 83. 8 plus 3 is 11. Boom. There you go.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Dotson, the guard, ran a little Twitter poll. This was funny. I don't know if you heard about this.
I didn't hear about it, but I can only imagine.
So, 4 jersey numbers were available to him. 65, 68, 69, and 70. I think it was 79.
I could have told you which one was going to win right off the bat.
Yeah, he did it on Twitter, man. You know what one won. And it was a landslide, and it was 69. So that is rumored to be his new jersey number. Giggity.
We'll take it. I'm sure he'll take it too. Whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, now Antoine Brooks, the safety possible, might play a little middle linebacker, we'll see, out of Maryland. He said he's going to wear 25 because that was his number in college. So. He was really excited that it was available with Pittsburgh. We were also excited that it was available because that means Artie Burns is gone.
Woohoo! See you later, buddy.
And another one just recently rumored. Again, none of these are official. It's not on the website. They haven't released any of them. Alex Highsmith, the linebacker out of Charlotte, outside linebacker, is looking at 56. I like it, man. I loved Woodley when he was on the team. I like seeing another like top-tier player. Pass rusher for the Steelers wearing 56.
Now he's just got to prove himself as the top tier pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be better than Chicolo. He was wearing 56 before.
That's fair. We just won't see the hair coming out anymore.
Maybe you'll grow it.
Maybe. That's the challenge, Mr. Highsmith.
Grow your hair. I can't, so you must. So found out some cool information on a couple of these guys that is not things that you're going to read on normal sites too. Chase Claypool. That stud wide receiver, that 6'4", 238-pound with a 40-inch-plus-inch vertical.
That people are comparing to Megatron already.
Yeah, come on. That's off of his measurables. Yeah. I get it. But like, if he has half the career of Megatron, he's an absolute stud.
It's fair. It's true.
Did you know he won 92% of his jump balls in college? 92%.
I did know that because you told me that before the show. But it's still astonishing even the same.
That is incredible. That's why he's in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform, folks. That right there, you've got to be able to convert in the red zone. This is Mr. Convert in the red zone.
He's no Mike Wallace. He's no Limus Swede. He is Mr. Chase Pool. Claypool. Chase Claypool.
I like it. We'll call him
Chase Pool.
We're keeping it. Speaking of impressive things, Alex Highsmith, not this most recent April that just ended, the one previously, benched 390 pounds in spring workouts. 390.
It's a lot. I can't do that.
No, me either. Me either. Not on my best day. But that gives you an idea as far as the strength of this young man. He's not just some speed rusher with no ability to hold up on the end. And this was a year ago. He's been lifting since, obviously. So at 248, he's going to put some more weight on, and he knows how to spend the time in the weight room, because 390 don't happen by accident, folks. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of hard work to be able to bench 390. Speaking of other bench performances, Kevin Dotson, we found out what he did at Louisiana Lafayette. How many reps was that?
31 reps. Whew. At a basically pretend pro day type thing that only two head coaches attended.
And one of them was
Mr. Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, so I think there was a little bit of an insight. So this was before the corona locked everything down and you weren't allowed to go to any pro days. It was like an informal workout kind of right around that time, especially since he didn't get a chance to go to the combine. There was a couple people that did this sort of thing just so they could get their numbers out there. Kid ran a 5:04 40-yard dash. That's real impressive for a 322-pound man with 31 reps on the bench. He's got 33-inch long arms, which is very good length. So that kind of strength with that kind of length is awesome for your offensive line. Makes me even more excited about him this upcoming season. So cool to get a little bit more insight on some of these guys as to what we may be able to see on the field this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I really feel like those three guys that we talked about, Chase Claypool, Alex Highsmith, and Kevin Dotson, all have the physical attributes to be NFL superstars. Now it's just making sure the technique's down, making sure they have a football IQ that is there. If all those things fall in line, these guys are going to have great careers and hopefully in Pittsburgh.
Man, and I'm not downplaying McFarland either. I love a little jitterbug dude like that, and he's not tiny. Like 210 pounds on a 5'8 frame is stacked. So
it's a firm boy.
Yeah, that is a strong, fast young man with some great lateral agility. I'm excited to see what he does in the preseason, and I hope he can get some reps at kick return, man. I really want to see him return a kickoff.
Yes, please. Anybody but Ryan Switzer. Oh, my goodness. Deontay Johnson, he's a phenomenal returner. I wouldn't mind seeing him back there. Now that I see that he's more of a future as far as a wide receiver, maybe don't use him in that aspect. But would love to see somebody back there returning kicks, returning punts, other than Mr. Switzer.
Yeah, and I think they would probably continue using Deontay Johnson on punt return, but I feel like a running back's build is more useful on a kick return. You need to be able to shrug some people off, because it's very rare that you go untouched when you break a touchdown on a kickoff return. Got to be able to juke some people and get some people to slide off you. Running backs are great at that, and he's got the build for it on such a compact frame. So
yeah, Devin Hester was one of the two guys that I can remember that wouldn't get touched because of the speed. And then I remember Dante Hall,
man, the human joystick.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
he was like, watch me run 50 miles an hour, watch me stop. Yeah. Like it was nuts.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
Watch him whip.
And Nene.
And Nene. Yes. In other news, Andy Dalton,
Mr. Redhead himself.
Finally got cut.
By the Bengals.
You knew it was coming because of their draft pick, right?
Thank God, Joe Burrow.
So that means nobody offered him anything that they were willing to take as far as a trade.
No. I don't know why I really said thank God. I'm actually more concerned about Joe Burrow than I was Andy
Dalton. I'd rather they still had Andy.
But here's the thing. We saw so many articles coming out that, you know, apparently Pittsburgh offered him a deal, blah, blah, blah. This is coming from the same source that told us we were going to sign Jameis Winston. I don't know. What do you want to say about it?
He's been exposed since then, and it was not the truth either time. So when you hear these rumors about, oh, Pittsburgh offered this guy this or offered that guy that, unless it comes from the horse's mouth, unless it's coming out of a Pittsburgh reporter and not one of those like clickbaity Mark Madden type ones or Andrew Filippone, the guys that are out there just saying stuff just to get followers and tweets and retweets, you know, trust your Ed Bouchettes and that kind of source. If Kevin Colbert says, hey, yeah, we went after him, but we couldn't get him. Okay, yeah, then it happened. But when somebody says it that has like 400 followers on Twitter, don't believe it because it's not true.
Not a chance. So moving forward, that does mean Andy Dalton now needs to find a new team. So you have the lovely, fancy Cowgirls, excuse me, Cowboys, signed him to a one-year deal for $7
million. $3 million guaranteed, $7 million on the high end of it. Way more either way than what Pittsburgh had. So any of the folks out there that were saying, Pittsburgh needs to get him, wasn't happening ever.
Don't have that kind of money. Not right now.
No, don't have $7
million. Five, roughly.
Yeah, they got five, and they still haven't signed the rookie class yet, so... Going to use about $1 million of that. So, so no, that's not happening. No one's happening unless they're veteran minimum. That's it, period.
Yeah, we could have signed Jameis Winston based on his deal with New Orleans. I'm happy we didn't. I don't want another 30-interception quarterback.
Yeah, realistically, I want to say like 80% of Steeler fans lost their minds when Roethlisberger threw 15 picks in a year. He led the NFL in passing yards that year, but he threw 15 picks, and he was like two touchdowns for one interception on the ratio, right? Winston had 30 touchdowns and 30 picks last year. I cannot imagine how much Steeler fans would complain if they had a quarterback throwing 30 picks in a year. Because it was awful when Ben threw 15, half of that. No, I don't want a quarterback that throws 30 picks in a year. No.
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 And it's not like he didn't have talent around him. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, he had guys capable of playing. Just couldn't get the ball to the right spot.
Now, Cam Newton, on the other hand, if the Steelers had salary cap space, I'd be in on that in a heartbeat.
Oh, hands Because
I think
down.
Cam's got plenty of life left in him, and he's shown the ability to be a winner. But, yeah, again, it's a salary cap thing. That's the only reason that's not going to happen. Otherwise, you take Cam in a heartbeat, that's a hell of a quarterback. But moving on to the draft class from the Bengals, everyone knew going into this, Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick, quarterback out of LSU. The kid just had an amazing senior season, really didn't splash much before that. He was actually an Ohio State Buckeye. I'm sure you heard this throughout things.
Yep.
Things didn't go well for him there. He transferred to LSU for the opportunity to start and took full advantage of it. Had an amazing year as a senior there and led them all the way to the championship. Just what you're hoping for. Best case scenario for him, other than going to the Bengals. No offense if there are any Bengals fans listening, but I really doubt there are.
Doubtful. Yeah. Very doubtful. Unless they see that we're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, then they might listen to what
we're saying. Yeah, I mean, we're going to put some hashtags out there. But
but yeah, big thing here. Joe Burrow's already the front runner and all the, you know, the
Rookie of the year
voting, all that stuff that they think he's going to win. I think it's not far off, especially if A.J. Green comes back healthy, T. Higgins. Just depends on that offensive line, man.
Yeah, it's surprising that they completely ignored the offensive line in this draft. I mean, they took one at 180 overall, Hakeem Adeniji, an offensive guard out at Kansas. But realistically, a guy that late in the draft is not going to be a starter for you. And if he is a starter, that's bad.
It's real bad.
You should not be able to draft a starter in the sixth round because the people on the team should be drastically better than that. I mean, in the second round, they took T. Higgins, wide receiver out of Clemson. Excellent receiver, 6'4", 215. He's going to really be able to be that number one receiver for them that they'll be losing when A.J. Green finally leaves. Kind of sounds like A.J. didn't want to be there this year. If they're not able to keep him next year because he's on that one-year deal, I think he's on the franchise contract right now. So if he's not able to be retained, now you got T. Higgins to be your number one afterwards. That's a good pick. But again, going the first two rounds and not addressing offensive line, man, that's shaky. So you figure they better do it in the third and fourth, right?
Wrong.
Nope.
They didn't do that.
Middle linebacker both times. Now I got to admit, I like both of those picks. Logan Wilson is a heck of a linebacker, very underrated. So where they got him in the third round is a good selection. And then in the fourth round, they came back with another one, Akeem Davis Gaither. He's a little bit more of a slender build to him. But both of these guys are very athletic. So now all of a sudden the Bengals go from having basically very little talent at the middle linebacker position to having some good talent and some athletic guys there. So the key there will be how is their diagnostic? You know, are they able to figure out when a fake's coming at them or counter plays, or they get a bite on a counter and then be two steps out of position and then be able to be leveraged? Those are the kind of things that young guys make mistakes on where Pittsburgh can take advantage of.
Yeah.
So with their bigger interior guys like pouncy elite guys like that for lunch. Gaither, I want to say, is only like 225. Mm. Wilson's a little bit meatier than that. But still, you get the Castro on the move with one of these middle backers. And, yeah, Gaither ain't going to last on him. Wilson's 250, so that's a good-sized middle linebacker. But Gaither, he's more your nickel guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy you're going to ask to cover a linebacker or cover a running back or a tight end. That's more his assignment. So past that in the draft, the next round they went after Khalid Kareem, an edge rusher out of Notre Dame. So interesting that, again, in the fifth round, they still did not address the offensive line. At 6'4", 265, he'd be like an outside linebacker or a 4-3 end, whichever you prefer in that. But then the guard, Akeem Adeniji, out of Kansas, was their sixth-round pick at 6'5", 300. Not a menacing size, just kind of an average size there. So, again, interesting. I'm sure they needed it for depth, but I would have thought that they would have been a little more interested in pursuing someone for a starting job. I know they went out and picked some people up, but none of it was really high quality for their offensive line. Seventh round, they grabbed Marcus Bailey out of Purdue, 6'1", 240. Again, another off-ball linebacker. Just weird. Weird, man. I don't know. It's like what the Browns did for years.
Yeah. Just completely, and that's why they're all still bad.
That's why they just completely ignored their offensive line issues and just kept on drafting in other places. And you look at it, and wow, it's awesome. They got all these great DBs and pass rushers and defensive linemen and wide receivers and running backs, and so cool, but no offensive line to block, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think it's going back to their second-round pick real quick, T. Higgins, I love the fact that I think it's ironic that his pre-draft analysis had him as a comparison to A.J. Green, which is kind of cool.
Real similar build, yeah.
Very similar. And it's important to note to kind of compare him just for college stats-wise. I'm not saying he's going to have the same NFL career as these guys, but at his school of Clemson, he scored 27 receiving touchdowns in three seasons, which actually tied the school record for receiving scores with DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins.
That's impressive company right there.
Very impressive company. So I don't remember right now. I believe the Bengals still have Tyler Boyd as well.
They do, yeah.
So
absolutely.
You're looking at Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and A.J. Green if they all stay healthy. Pittsburgh's going to have their work cut out for them, especially if Joe Burrow can get some protection. That whole offense just changed as well with Joe Mixon running the ball. Other than the offensive line, that is a high-caliber offense.
Yeah, and where it's going to be a real advantage for them, too, that's a lot of tall dudes. Realistically, how Pittsburgh matches up with that, you got Joe Hayden right around 6 foot, Steven Nelson in that 5'10", 5'11 category, and then Mike Hilton at 5'9". So jump ball situations will not favor Pittsburgh in these matchups. So that's where it's going to be interesting to see what's the progression from year one to year two with Justin Lane. Being a taller corner, you got to have at least one or two of these guys to throw out there. Because the new mold of wide receiver, a 6 foot wide receiver seems to be a short guy nowadays. You know, there's a lot of them out there that are 6'1", 6'2", and taller. And the Bengals roster is just loaded up with them, man. So I'm really excited to see how Justin Lane looks this year in the preseason. Hopefully they're able to have all the preseason games. It's going to be very important for a guy like that. And that's very important for Pittsburgh's future. Because looking at it, Joe Hayden on the wrong side of 30. Hilton's on the last year of his deal. Cam Sutton's on the last year of his deal. What's going on with the corners? You know,
yeah.
If Sutton or if Justin Lane can't make that step, then you're looking at going corner again high in next year's draft.
Yeah, it'd be sad to see that one of these corners don't pan out for us. We kind of missed the ball with Artie Burns shooting high. Maybe Justin Lane can come in and make a difference. We've seen what Mike Hilton can do as far as rushing the passer at certain situations.
In short area coverage, he's fantastic. You keep him within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and he can cover about anybody. But if you send him on a vertical route, that's where he's exposed every time.
Every single time. So I remember that a lot last year. And then Cam Sutton
looked great.
Looked great, but we just need to see more of you now.
Yeah, the problem is he couldn't get on, really. So it wasn't unless you had a dime defense where you had at least six defensive backs out there. That's where Cam started getting on the field. And that's where you figure Antoine Brooks is going to try to push him here. So what's your sixth defensive back going to look like this year? Who knows? You know, it could still be Cam Sutton, could be Brooks. They say Brooks has a pretty good IQ. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out this preseason as well. But in your nickel, it's set because all the guys are back, man, and a few of them are Pro Bowlers too. So very interesting to see. Looks like you got some more tidbits for me here, Cody.
Yeah, just Bengals undrafted free agents. They signed a defensive end / linebacker from ECU, Iowa State offensive lineman. They got another wide receiver from Wake Forest, a running back from Arkansas, cornerback. They got another O-line, a linebacker, a defensive lineman, Taylor Clark from Georgia. They also got a tight end, which was a big need for them, Mitch Wilcox from South Florida, and then another defensive lineman from Kansas State, Trey Dishon. Don't recognize any names. Obviously, you typically don't with undrafted guys, but they did go out and get two other offensive linemen, which was their need. Maybe they saw something here that they want to take advantage of with either of these guys, Josh Nipfel from Iowa State or Clay Cordasco from Oregon State. But just curious, offensive line was their biggest weakness last year. They ranked 26th in overall out of 32 teams. That wasn't good, and they didn't even really address it in the draft. Got to make you wonder, are they going to have any blocking for Joe Burrow? You went out and spent a first-round pick, the first overall pick, on a quarterback, and you're not going to get anyone to block for him? Come on.
Yeah, this is like some David Carr syndrome right here, man. If you don't block for the guy, he could end up so shell-shocked that he just, as soon as he gets back in that third step in his drop or fifth step in his drop, whatever it may be, balls out. He's not going through his progressions. If the guy isn't open, he's throwing it away.
I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to take a guess. There's a few things to this. Don't think I'm solid on point if I get it right. Joe Burrow is going to lead the league in interceptions thrown by rookies. There's only going to be a few of them starting, so it's not going to be a huge deal. He's going to have more opportunity to throw them. But due to the fact that he's not going to have as much time to throw, he's going to throw bad passes. They're going to get picked off easier. I say he has at least 10 or 11, maybe more.
I can't argue with you on that, man, just because obviously he was insanely accurate his senior year at LSU. But look at all those offensive linemen that got drafted by the NFL, too.
LSU's entire starting offensive.
Yeah, the whole team. Offensive line got drafted.
The whole offensive team is on a team now. Yeah. Like whether they were drafted or undrafted free agents, every single player on the starting 11 for their team is in the NFL now.
And two of those interior guys, Lloyd Cushenberry and Damian Lewis, were two of the top interior talents in this draft class. So he's used to having a good offensive line in front of him, and he's not gonna. And if they can't develop a running game, like if they aren't able to run the ball and they're in third and long all the time, man, I like T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree pinning their ears back, and then a healthy Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward. Oh,
yeah, you got to remember, we didn't have Stephon Tuitt most of last year, 90% of last year.
It could be a short season for Joe Burrow.
Bye-bye.
I mean, I don't think getting benched, man, you never wish an injury on anybody,
no.
But holy cow, like he could be getting beat up pretty bad.
They might, I was going to say they might let him, rest for a little bit. No, they got rid of Andy Dalton. There's no way not starting week one.
Yeah, he's starting. He's starting, period. Oh, the real question is, are you allowed to wear two flak jackets underneath your jersey? He might want to.
He might look like he put on some weight, but I think it's a smart decision.
I mean, I would do it.
I'd do it.
I would do it.
Oh, yeah. it's going to be rough for him for sure. Really excited to see. You've got to remember, we play them twice a year. They're in the division. We'll play once at home, once away. I think, especially when he comes to Pittsburgh, dude, he's going to get rattled.
Yeah.
Playing in Pittsburgh's tough. Like, I don't know that personally, but, like, being there and being at games and understanding the atmosphere, it's tough, especially when Renegade comes on. Oh, they're going to be after his bum.
Oh, and you just got to keep in mind, too, Pittsburgh led the league in sacks the last 3 years consecutively. This is a very good pass rushing team, and they didn't lose any of their top pass rushers other than if you want to talk about Hargrave, but Hargrave was only like 5.5, 6 sacks last year. He's not one of their leading sack getters. So, man, if you can't protect your quarterback, Pittsburgh will get your quarterback, period.
Yeah, I'm just looking at last year. The game we played in Pittsburgh on the 30th of September last year, we won 27-3. And if you look at defensive stats, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 4.5, 5, 6, eight sacks against the Bengals in one game last year.
Ooh, no wonder Andy Dalton didn't look good, man. Oh.
So you have to imagine that it's not going to be any better. They didn't improve the offensive line. Yeah. They didn't, like, hands
down.
Not
through the draft, anyway. I know they got some guys in free agency, but they didn't go out and get any of those big-name guys, so... Whew.
Yeah, we had four against them when we played in Cincinnati. So, like, that's 12 sacks against one team. Joe Burrow, it's not looking good for you, my dude.
Yeah. I mean, get a good life insurance policy.
It's a way to start. We know a guy. We know a guy at State Farm.
Got the freshest policies out there.
Absolutely. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what I have to say about the Bengals. I don't really have much more to say other than the talent on that offensive line and skill positions is amazing. But there was almost no improvement to offensive line.
Yeah, kind of backwards on building it. But you can't pass up on a guy like Joe Burrow. You get an opportunity to draft him, you got to take him, period. I'm just surprised that they, with the depth of the wide receivers at this year's draft, I know that there was a lot of top heavy, a lot of people wanted to get one of those top wide receivers, but there were still a lot of good quality ones available later on, to not take advantage of getting an offensive lineman that's a very highly skilled one earlier at 33 is surprising to me, even again in the third round, right? Just surprising.
Yep. So excited to see what happens this year as we face the Bengals twice. Maybe we can go for 20 sacks in a game. Who knows? We'll have to wait and find out.
Let's set the record.
Or let me clarify, 20 sacks in two games. 20 sacks in one game would be very impressive.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't see why not.
Heck yeah. Hey, and we're still going to do it. Hey, if we hit 60 sacks this year, we're shaving our heads.
Boom, done. It's so much easier now. I'm more bald than I was last year.
We're going to make him grow it out first. Don't worry. But thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Steelers by the Lake. Email us at SteelersByTheLake@gmail.com. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what you like about the show. Improvements that you guys think we can make. We are open to hearing your guys' opinions and input. Super excited. But until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.